I want to share with us, please be seated. If you're standing, be seated. A continuation of the series been talking about for weeks. I'm grateful to God that you're able to make it to church, that you did not care about the weather. We thank God. Nothing will stop us from coming in the presence of the Almighty God. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I want to talk about what I've titled Overcoming the Jebusite Spirit of Accusation. The Jebusite Spirit of Accusation. Need I remind us that we are in a battle? A battle for our destiny in Christ, and we will always be in this battle. A battle to maintain our salvation until Jesus comes. Paul the Apostle said to Timothy, in Timothy, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called. That is to say, Paul is saying, I'm not the only one called to eternal life. You are also called. And I've confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Brethren, if you are not willing to fight the good fight of faith, you will give the devil the ground that does not belong to him in your life. A lot of Christians are giving up today. Believe me sincerely. Many are giving up today. They don't even know where they belong. You know why? Because of the Jebus spirit. That's what I call it now, the Jebus spirit. The spirit of condemnation, the spirit of accusation, the spirit that tears down. One day, as we know scriptures written in Job, Satan came before God. And the moment the name of Job came up, the next thing the devil did was to accuse. He began to accuse Job. The devil couldn't accuse Job of sin. Isn't it going to be wonderful that the devil cannot accuse you of sin? Job could not be accused of sin. But the devil accused his motive for serving God. Satan accused his motive for worshiping God. What is your own motive for serving God? What is your motive for worshiping God? The devil said, or the Bible says, as what the devil said, in Job chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made an hedge around him, around his household? And around all that he has on every side, watch this, his motive. You have blessed the work of his hand. It's because of his wealth. It's because of what you have given him. His possessions have increased in the land. But now, if you really want to know Job, stretch out your hand. Touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. I know, the devil says, the motive of Job is simply because of what you have done for him. You take away all those things, you will see him curse you. Like the others that I know, he will curse you. I ask you again, why are you worshiping God? What's your motive for serving God? Is your faith tied to things? Is your faith tied to God? Is your faith tied to what you have? Jesus said in Luke chapter 22, verses 31 to 32, Jesus said to Peter, Luke 31 to 32, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you, just like he asked for Job. Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. You know how they sift wheat? Shake and shake. Job was shaken. Jesus said, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. When you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Satan is after your faith in God. So the question is, what is your faith tied to? We know that Job's faith was not tied to the things he had. Because even when those things were taken away, he still was confessing God. He still was glorifying God. Paul said in Romans 8, 35 through 39, Romans 8, 35 through 39, watch this, watch what Paul, the language Paul used. Paul said, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Who? You will think that after he said, who can separate us, he will start mentioning human beings' names. He did not say, what can separate us? He said, shall tribulation? Because tribulation is an entity. Tribulation is a demonic spirit. Or distress. These are spirits. Or persecution. Spirit of persecution. Or famine. Or nakedness. These are spirits of peril or sword. Can any of these separate you from God? Are you standing well enough? Is your faith in Christ solid that these things cannot separate you from him? Paul said, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Paul said, we suffered, and we know the story of Paul. He suffered, but yet he did not deny Christ. He says, for I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. What is your own persuasion? What is your persuasion? Are you persuaded that nothing can separate you from God? That the lie of this world will not separate you from Christ? Like I was sharing with the workers this morning, the world wants us to be in step with them. They want us to be the same. And the moment we say we are not, the first thing they do is accuse. They accuse and they condemn. And Jesus has an answer to that. For children of God that thinks that they have to answer to the world, so that the world will not accuse them. Jesus said in John 15, verse 18 to 20, John 15, 18 to 20, if the world hates you, you know that he hated me before he hated you. If you were in the world, if you were of the world, and the world would love his own, the world would love his own, the world would love his own, are you of the world? He said, yet because you are not of the world, this is Jesus speaking, brethren. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. If you genuinely belong to Jesus, you will always be in opposition to the world, because the world will not like the truth. Remember the word that said to you, that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they did it to him, who am I? If they persecute me, he said, they will also persecute you. If they keep my word, if they kept my word, they will keep yours also. You are a child of God. You dodge persecution. I don't want to be persecuted. I'd rather just keep my mouth shut. I won't tell them they are wrong. I won't tell them what Jesus said. I won't tell them what the world says. Even my lifestyle will not differentiate me from them. That is why you remain immature, because you succumb to the guilt and condemnation of the world. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Having been justified by faith, we are justified by faith. According to the word of God, we are justified by faith in Christ Jesus. The devil will come, accuse you, to doubt your justification. The world wants to judge you, accuse you, to doubt your justification in Christ. You can't be a Christian living on your feelings. We are justified by faith in Christ, not by our feelings. The Holy Spirit works in us by faith, not through our feelings. You cannot interact with God through your feelings, but by faith. And the enemy will come, attack you through your feelings, attack your faith. The day you got born again, how many of us here feel you felt saved? You can't feel saved. You can't feel saved from sin. You can't feel victorious over the enemy. But then the feelings of guilt can come. The feelings of guilt can come and reduce you to be a nobody. Saps your energy. Guilt comes to reduce your value. And that's the instrument of the devil. The spirit of guilt and condemnation destroys our walk with God. You can't walk with God when you are always feeling guilty. When the spirit of condemnation is poking you regularly, Satan will come. He will exhume your ugly past to tell you what you did many, many years ago is the reason why God has not answered your prayers. Brethren, it's a lie. Because if you have confessed your sins, and in many cases, if you have made restitution, but in talking about restitution, before you make restitution, please make sure you seek counsel. Hallelujah. Don't be like the armed robber that went to rob and kill somebody and now became born again and say, I want to go and restitute. I'm sorry, I'm not a Christian. I was the one that came to your house and shot somebody in your house. You know, that person is a goner. That's not restitution. That's not the kind of restitution you want to make. Praise the Lord. But if you are led by the Spirit, maybe the Holy Spirit has said that person, prepared the heart of that person, and the Holy Spirit said to you, go. Go and make the restitution, then you go. But seek counsel to make restitution. Because the sin you have confessed, why is the devil still holding you on that? The sin that Jesus has washed away, why is the devil still poking your heart for that? Why is the devil, why are you still allowing the devil to hold you ransom for what the blood of Jesus Christ has erased from your file? The Jebusite spirit will come and say, you are not good enough. You are not even beautiful. You can't go forward. You can't prosper. Remember what you did. You have no right to be happy in the Lord. How can somebody like you call yourself a Christian? And that's one of the major languages of the world. How can somebody like you? Because you don't love the way they love. How can you say you are a Christian when you don't love? Did Jesus not say love? Their own understanding of love is warped. It's the Jebusite spirit that continues to minister to you and say you are a failure. I decree today there is no failure in your life. Yeah. It comes with all kinds of unimaginable accusations and condemnations. Anyone who allows the devil, Satan will use your mind to highlight every mistake you have ever made. You put your head on the pillow. The picture you are seeing is the mistakes you have ever made. Why? He wants you to believe that you are a failure. One more time, I declare that there's no failure in your life. Amen. One of the worst things I've seen in the church is the part of the operation of the Jebusite spirit is making things worse for somebody who is already feeling guilty. You know, and that comes through gossip. Gossip. Say, for example, two people are standing together and they are talking and then they are laughing. That spirit will say, it's you they are laughing at. It's because of what you did. That's why they are laughing at you. You know why they have not called you? It's because they have found out what you did. The Bible says in Revelation 12, 9 and 10, Revelation 12, I'm reading a lot of scriptures and I'm racing because of time as well. Revelation 12, 9 and 10. I pray sincerely that God will give you hearing ears and heart that will receive the word of God so that you can be free from the shackles of the devil. Revelation 12, 9 and 10. The Bible says, so that great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angel was cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. The job of the devil, one of his works is to accuse every day. So what's the solution to all these accusations of the devil? You should know the truth. And this truth should set you free. Hallelujah. Every accusation of Satan is nullified by Jesus. How? Because the devil accuses every day. Imagine a huge courtroom. And God the judge sitting on the throne. Jesus Christ, our advocate, on the right side. Jesus is always on the right side. And this demon, evil, called the devil, the deceiver, the accuser of the brethren on the left. And he's calling names. Lord, see this person. They said they are Christians. Look at what they did. They said they are your children. Look at what they did. And guess what Jesus is doing on the right side? The Bible says, Hebrews 7 verse 25. Hebrews 7, 25. Therefore, he is also able. If the devil is able to accuse every day, then Jesus also is able to save to the utmost those who come to God through him, since he also lives to make intercession for them. Satan is accusing. Jesus is saying, Father, have mercy. No matter how many times the devil accuses, Jesus will intercede 10 times more. That is why the mercies of God over your life, over my life, they are new every morning. And great is the faithfulness of God. If not, we will have no answer. If Jesus had not been praying for Peter, Peter would have gone. I want you to be rest assured that there is an intercessor. His name is Jesus, who is interceding for you, interceding for your family, so that the word of the devil, so that the accusation of the evil one will not come to pass in your life. Some people think that because they are overwhelmingly so guilty, there's no way out for them. You know, you find yourself in sin, and the word of God is saying to you, you are living in sin. Come out of sin. But if you become recalcitrant in your heart and thinking as if there's no way out for me, there's no way out for me to come out of this sin, it's the devil that is lying to you. I break that hold from your life today in the name of Jesus. By that feeling, the feeling of there's no way out, some have continued to live in that sin because they have lost all hope. And because of it, they left the church. You know why? They couldn't bear the surgery of the word, the surgery of the word. Some people have option to go for surgery, but they are afraid of the surgeon's knife. Oh, you are going to be put to sleep and they are going to walk on you. Ah, no. No, I don't want to sleep. No. Leave me. Let me be the way I am. Oh, but come. You can be delivered. We can pray for you. Ah, how many people are going to be there? Leave me alone. Some will not say it out, but it's in their heart. Because they can't stand the surgery of the word of God. Even the Jebusite spirit make them to refuse the mercy of God. I remember many years ago, while I was working with the Full Gospel Businessman Fellowship International, my boss sent me an army sergeant or corporal, I can't remember now, but it was in his mufti, that I should counsel him. I don't even know why they sent such a person to me. I thought it was an easy thing. I've seen things in my life, believe me. This guy came and said, I said, what can I do? He said that there is a girl in his town, in his hometown, that he has been paying her school fees. That after the girl graduated, with the hope that he's going to marry her, the parents of the girl now gave her to somebody else. So he got angry. He went to the barracks, got a gun, and killed 5 people. I looked at my window. There's burglary proof. There was no way out. I swallowed my tongue. I said, you mean they are dead? He said, yes, they are dead. So what are you doing here? You know? I had to send him back to my boss that sent him to me. I went up, so just wait for me. Let me go and tell the man that sent you to me. They are the one qualified to handle this one. Another time, a lady came to my office then, and I was told to counsel with her. She was also a military woman. She was a high-ranking woman, I think a lieutenant. The moment she entered my office, she was like, how old are you? I'm not kidding you. How old are you? He said, you are the one to counsel me. I said, yes. I said, counseling is not about age. It's about the grace of God upon my life. I said, so sit down. Let's talk and let's see if I can counsel you or not. I said, so what's the problem? She said, well, there is another officer who is married that she has been having a relationship with that person and she can't let him go. Even though the wife has found out and the wife wants her husband back, but she can't let him go. I said to her, excuse you. What do you think you are doing? You want God to kill you? You are holding on to another man's husband, another wife, woman's husband, and you say you are not going to let him. You have to let him go. If not, you will go. She was shocked. You mean I have to let him? I said, yes, you have to let him go. If you are willing to let him go, I will pray for you now. And I prayed for her. But there are some who will get up and walk away. Allowing the devil to rob them of God's mercies. I said to that woman, you shouldn't ever be in the vicinity of that man again. Even if you have to retire, retire now for your life's sake. Praise the Lord. Need I forget? She too was married. Yes. She was married. My eyes have seen. Praise the Lord. Some people, by these feelings of guilt, They would rather bear the weight of that guilt. You remember what Paul said? What shall separate us? Distress. They will carry it as if it's their own property, until it drives them to commit suicide. This spirit wants to beat you down. When you look in the mirror, you will not even recognize yourself again. He wants you to doubt your salvation, that you are not born again. You are not a child of God. That's what he did. He tried to do for Job. But Job was like, no, even though he slay me, I will still praise him. He beat down Job physically, but he couldn't capture his spirit. If you allow the devil, then you allow him to win. But I pray that Satan will not win over your life. I say he will not win over your family. In the mighty name of Jesus. This is also the spirit that tries to bring down leadership, the leadership of the church. Come to church. Go out there and use their same mouth to run down the church authority. And they come to the same church and want to be blessed. No, you heap curses because you allow yourself to be an instrument in the hand of the devil. You are not an instrument of such in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The word of God says the accuser of the brethren, he has been cast out. He has been cast down from heaven. So as a child of God, why will you allow the one that has been cast out from heaven and cast down to take residence in your mind? The Bible says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war against the flesh. Or we do not walk according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God. For pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, every high thing. Another translation will say imaginations, suggestions, demonic, satanic suggestions, bringing them down by the word of God. Jesus stood and the devil came and began to tempt him. Jesus opened his mouth and began to quote scriptures. Satan had no choice but to leave. But you are a child of God. Your mouth is too heavy to open. When it's prayer time, you don't even pray. I've shared it with us before, maybe with the workers. You say, oh, this is the prayer point. Pray this prayer point. You will hear some people singing. Whether they are singing the prayer point, I don't know. Pray this prayer point. You will hear some blood of Jesus, blood of Jesus. Pray the prayer point. Oh, I'm praying for myself. And you are hearing my prayer. And you are saying amen. Thank you. Pray your own. Praise the Lord. Brethren, our victory is in the blood of Jesus. Our victory is in the word of our testimony. You must not just plead the blood. You must have the word. The word of God is your testimony. The Bible says it is our profession. Answer the devil when he speaks. When he speaks negativity, answer him by the word. He says you are sick. No, I am healed. I am healthy. The blood of Jesus, the stripe of Christ has made me whole. There is no poverty in my life. There is no lack in my life. I am above only and not beneath. I am victorious in the name of Jesus. There is no fear here. The love of God is shed abroad in my heart. I am above all those things that the devil you are bringing before me, they are beneath my feet, because Christ has put them under my feet. You must have something to reply. Declare your victory. You don't know the word of God. You don't know your place in Christ. If you know your place in Christ, you will know the word of God. If Jesus spoke, then you better speak. Don't believe the lie of the devil that you are not blessed. It's a lie. Because God has already blessed you. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, 3. What does it say? Ephesians 1, 3. Look at it. Blessed be the God of our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who has done what? Who has done what? Somebody say, I am blessed already. He has blessed us. How can the person who is blessed be cursed? Except you don't know that you're already blessed. Don't let Satan talk you out of God's blessings. The things you see in your life that may not be going according to plan, they are just symptoms. Clear them out by the word of God. Our opening of service declaration says, I cannot fail. I say with serious emphasis, I cannot fail and I will not fall. I cannot fail. It's not possible for me to fail. Because I can't be in the category of the devil. I want you to rise up on your feet. I want us to pray. I want you to pray. You've got to be ready to pray. As much as time permits us this morning. Will you begin to plead the blood of Jesus Christ over your life? Cover your life in the blood of Jesus. Cover your children in the blood of Jesus. Cover your home in the blood of Jesus. Cover your spouse in the blood of Jesus. Everything about you, cover in the blood of Jesus.